glass of water because she is a ventriloquist. Okay, the bad news, I had to rake up piles of still frozen leaves. Okay, good news, the rake broke. Thank you. Thank you. Well, what do you know?
Live from San Francisco, California to Charleston, South Carolina, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know with Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, actress Brandy Burry, all the news that isn't and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who says if Frank Kaminsky turns out to be Jewish, it means rapture for his people, it's Michael Feldman.
Yeah, we got a rapture coming too, you know. Leave all the Methodists behind, you know, just the Jews. Unitarians, sorry. Nice try, don't quite get there. Yeah, okay, well, I told that to my brother, actually. I said, you know, Frank Kaminsky could be Jewish. That would be like a first for our people. He said, there's no way he's Jewish. He grew 7 inches in high school. That's my brother Howard, 5'6". Otherwise, a very good ball player. Too bad. Okay, so the weather, okay, it's breaking, I think, now, huh? Something's broken, I know that. I told him Wisconsin was a lousy tourism idea. They got a foot up north, I hear. Hey. Yeah, anyone up north there? Did you get a foot up there? Yeah, did you get a foot? Can I see it? You got 1 foot up north and 1 foot here, huh? Okay, that's cool. Well, the only compensation is that all great art and invention occur in this climate. Did you know that? Not necessarily here. Got to do something to stay warm, you know, art and inventions. I don't know about you, but I could use a climate change. That's how I feel. In the news, Obamacare hits its goal of 7 million signups to great disdain. Barack Dangerfield can't get no respect. Russian troops on Ukraine border wearing the same outfits for nearly 2 months now. Something's got to give. McDonald's closes its restaurants in Crimea because they couldn't keep up with the demand for Russian dressing. They have Russian dressing, I guess, if you ask for it. Darth Vader may not run for Ukraine president because he's being deemed a little light in the lightsaber. That was a long way to go for nothing, I agree. Supreme Court decides on Powerball limits for campaign contributions. Powerball limits, I say. The court's ruling makes the Koch brothers a branch of government. That's got to be a good thing. Well, the Supreme Court gets 10% of everything over a million, so that works out for them, too. Well, the majority does. So it's a win-win for the democratic process, is what I'm trying to say. And this my one-line editorial, fat cats can spread the wealth, but farmers can't spread the manure? What the heck? Here in Wisconsin, after only allowing voting when people are working, the legislature uppercuts with a law allowing poll watchers to look over your shoulder and guide your hand at the polls. Next up in Governor Walker's voter containment blitzkrieg, giving someone a ride to the polls a felony. Another news that isn't but is, President George W. Bush shows his paintings of world leaders highlighted by a very buff, blue-eyed, looking-into-your-soul Vladimir. Very nice. Very favorable. Actually, he's pretty good. He's not bad. Not Putin, I mean, W. That was great about the kid from Long Island, but probably would happen more often if everyone applied to every Ivy League school. You know, who does that? I applied to all Big Ten schools, and there were 10 at that time. And except for Purdue, I had it. Okay, our very own Paulie Ryan's budget plan calls for Social Security to be replaced by guaranteed Mickey D. crew chief positions for every fairly able-bodied old person. So you get an automatic crew chief. That's pretty good. It's enticing. Because they got to pull themselves up from their own walkers. No pun intended. In other news, new Letterman wouldn't last. Huh? Okay. Will be replaced by Joe Biden. I think that's really a good pick. It's a little surprising, but not very. The Europeans' threefold advantage in Neanderthal genes serves them well in football. Or as Cro-Magnons call it, soccer. This is a very educated thing to say. This is a person who has studied some anthropology.
Take that out. That's bad.
I'm taking it out, yeah. Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg gets $3.3 billion return on his $1 salary. That's pretty darn good. Percentage-wise, what would that be? I don't even want to think. 3.3 billion percent, I guess. Something like that. I'll have to work it out. But how does a person with no social skills spend that kind of money? You know, what does he do with it? Nothing. Rand Paul comes out for immigration reform since his dad comes from Tralfamador. Tralfamador. Yeah, thank you very much. Could you footnote all my jokes? It would be very helpful. You're a big, big help. A GM that plays cobalts in a gunny sack and drown them. Researchers say seven portions of fruit and veggies every 2 or 3 years is not enough for most people. For others, it's more than enough. Other researchers find that zebras have vertical stripes in front to make them look taller and horizontal stripes in back to make their butts look smaller. These are researchers. Don't blame me for that. Too much running is tied to shorter lifespan, or maybe you just get to the finish line sooner. The cheerleader who sued her parents gets a fixed $56,000 scholarship, and boy, are they nice to her now. Putin's divorce comes through after he annexes wife Ludmilla's divorce lawyer. And anyhow, the governors place their bets on the Wisconsin-Kentucky game, Kentucky bourbon versus Wisconsin teacher retirement accounts. That's all the news that is. Thank you so much. I know I get more like you. What's it going to be, bourbon? I don't think so. All right. We'll enjoy the bourbon, I'm sure. You probably known her as Terry D'Agostino on The Wire. She's here with us today. She's in a new movie, which is basically about her. Not unusually, it's called Actress. Would you welcome, please, Brandy Burry to our stage right here in the What Do You Know room. Oh, I was hoping you were there. I had no idea. I hadn't seen you. I didn't know. How are you? Thank you for coming.
Hi. Yeah. Nice to be here.
Yeah. So this is like the con of the Upper Midwest, you know, this festival we got going here.
Yeah.
We're called the con of the Upper Midwest. Did you know that?
The con?
The con.
Why?
Like the Cannes Film Festival.
Oh.
Yeah.
I would say can.
Oh.
I was like, what's a con? What happened? Why are you guys fake?
Is something, what's going on? You can't say can around here.
No, but see, I don't know. I mean, I've been there.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to say it.
Okay.
I just, when I traveled in France, apparently I had a French accent that
you
I
did?
Picked up, but I spoke in English.
You did?
Yeah, my friend was laughing at me because I was everything was like, hello, how are you? He was like, no, they don't. It's not like they understand you better because you have a French accent and you're speaking in English.
I know. You know, I couldn't even ever learn French because you got to do this. That's why only girls could ever learn French in school.
Yeah, yeah.
The guy is not going to do that. So now the movie was screened last night. It's being screened all across the country now. Is it in general release now? Actress.
It's not in general release.
No.
It's crazy. This is the fifth screening. We've seen it for an audience has seen it 5 times.
Yeah.
But we're in the New Yorker today.
I just found out
back there. There's a great review, and I'm so excited.
We're called the New Yorker of the Upper Midwest.
No, this was a piece of my neighbor is the director. He's my next door neighbor, and it's Something from Nothing, which is so beautiful to now be here talking about it, yeah, is a miracle for me. So
he's not the one you were seeing during this whole thing.
No, but he's here.
Is he?
In the audience,
the director,
yeah.
So,
but
this
I don't
is a very,
know.
Now, this is a daring thing to be doing. This
I know.
This is your life.
I'm a provocative person, apparently. I didn't really realize it, but yeah. I think that, you know, well, I'm an actress, so I think I have a need for some reason to put myself out there all the time.
But here, now you're on The Wire, and it's a big hit, and you're a big hit on it and stuff, and you've got it made. It's a recurring character.
Well, I there's no getting it made, apparently, because you get on a show, but then the show goes away, and I got on the show, it was amazing, and I had a great time, but mm-hmm. I knew that it was going to end at some point, and I was already looking for other work, and I was working with other actors who are amazing and are accomplished, and I realized that they, too, while they were shooting, were looking for other work. Because there's no guarantee. And then I thought, oh, I've made it. You know, now I'm going to be one of those people that works all the time. And I started going on auditions with bigger names. Oh. Like I was an underdog. I was a nobody. And then I started going on auditions with real people that were famous. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, now I have to do this.
Do you want to name now, bigger names?
I'm not going to do that. I'll spare them. I don't want to promote them.
But you
they're already big.
Yeah.
They don't need time on the radio.
Yeah. But you're a pretty big name. I mean, that's still because it was a hit show.
Well, ironically, I was. It's a hit show, and it's become better now. Yeah. I mean, it's a classic now. I mean, and I'm so lucky to be a part of it. But at the time, no one knew who I was before it aired. Mm. It's so funny. And we were I don't know the numbers, but I remember it being like 4 million people watched us, only 4 million, when The Sopranos and Sex and the City were like 20 million. So we were a sleeper hit, you know? Yeah. But it took a while, and I'm so happy that now it's still around. But I wasn't even invited to the premiere in New York after I shot the first season, somehow, because I was a local
hire. You gotta let that go, though.
No, I'm not upset, but it's just so funny because no one knew who I was. It's just like you could be a somebody at some point, but I was like under the radar for sure.
Yeah. You're mainly stage?
Yeah, I'm a theater actress. Yeah. I've got a master's degree, and you know, I consider it a craft. I'm much more used to being in front of an audience instead of
you should feel right at home here.
I know.
There's an audience here. So. Just do whatever you want here if you want to.
Yeah.
Doll's House, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly.
And you had a PhD or something, didn't you, in Ohio there?
A master's, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Can you get a PhD in acting?
I don't think so. No. I don't. Maybe you could. They should. I hope not. I hope you can't get a PhD in acting.
Yeah.
Okay. But somebody's probably getting paid to get that.
Does that help? I mean, would you recommend if someone wants to be an actor? By the way. Actress. They don't say actress anymore, do they?
No, I always said actor, but it would annoy people. They'd be like, you're an actress. I'm like, really? Is that what I am?
But the movie is actress.
I know. That's Robert Greene putting it out there.
Where is he?
He's my director. He's on his way. He's not here.
Okay.
But he's on his way to another film festival. But
in fact, they shouldn't even have best actor and best actress. And they should
have
best actor male, best actor, or just have one best actor.
Whatever sex they are. Yeah, I mean, really, why do we have to get into the sex about it?
You could, I suppose. You don't have to.
I mean, you asked for it.
Totally up to you. By the way, I love your headshot.
Thank you.
Very nice. I'm saving this. Can I get a better copy of it? Do you have any with you?
Yeah, I'll autograph it for you, too.
Yeah.
I got 100 of them that one's doing using them. So.
Now, this thing, though, I mean, this is like your life suddenly is now as a film. Are any regrets about that? I mean, it exposes.
No regrets. It
right
exposes
to the bone.
Everything.
Yeah.
We didn't sign a release form. Robert's my neighbor and a friend. We have children the same age. Mm-hmm. So we knew we were walking on, we didn't know what we were doing, but we knew that we would always stop doing it if it got in the way of life. And
what are we talking about here now? The movie?
The movie.
Okay. There is a mystery man in all this. We never really saw
it. It's just like funny talking about a piece of art when you haven't seen the art. So it's like, I mean, I can't spoil anything. Yeah. Robert's like, whatever you do, do not spoil the story. It's like, okay, well, then I can't talk. So.
Okay.
But.
You know, what? We do have a little clip. Can I play like 1 minute? It's with your daughter. When your daughter, looking for jobs and you ask your daughter a question.
I would love to hear
the clip. Yeah, it's just a minute or so. Let's run that.
Hi, Double. I'm just calling you because I'm sitting down at my computer to do breakdown services, and I was thinking of you. So I'm going to log in and start looking for roles, and if I find anything good, I will send it your way. There they are. Okay. What do you think, Stella?
Good.
You think it's good? The first thing I pull up, I know the director. Are you kidding me?
You know what? You know what?
It's for a production that I'm sure there's no role for me. I have to look that up. Mid to late 30s, is that me? Oh, the neighborhood beauty. Am I the neighborhood beauty?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
Gina. There are a lot of wives or girlfriends. I will probably play the bitchy over the hill girlfriend or wife. That's my role.
Is that your role?
Yeah. That's my role.
Does
now.
Stella think so too?
Yeah. Well, Stella, you can't script her, man. She steals every scene of mine. You know.
Yeah. Because even on The Wire, I mean, that was a great part, but it wasn't an ingratiating sort of role.
No. Play. Right. Right. I played. She was a strong, femme fatale sort of character.
But whatever it took.
Yeah. Yeah. She got the job done.
Yeah. Yeah. And is that generally how you would be cast then? I think so.
I mean, I played a lot of different roles in theater, but Hedda Gabler, you mentioned A Doll's House, but, I do play powerful. I like strong women characters, but I've played multiple. I mean, I did musicals and everything, so yeah. I like. But it's funny because television, you get really, because of that role, people think that after I went and did theater, they were like, oh, this television actor is trying to do theater. I was like, no, I'm a theater actor that happened to get on television.
That's trying to do television.
But you can't win, It's either or,
You can't win. So, okay. But this film is not just about the acting jobs. So it's about you trying to get back into the business sort of after leaving it to have kids. And
this is, Robert came up with this pitch to me.
Yeah.
Because I think Robert is a filmmaker, my neighbor, and he wanted to do a film. He has no money. He wants to do a film. I'm sitting there. It's driving him crazy.
Yeah.
He's just like, what can we do here? He's a documentarian. Mm. So he had this idea about filming someone, a performer. Because a review that he had about a film that he did before said something about Katie, the subject of his last film, said she gave a great performance in a documentary. And this was in a review, and he thought, a performance in a documentary? He thought, well, but is it a performance? Like, once you put a camera on anyone,
right,
is it a performance? And
the changes.
Wouldn't it change
happened,
right? Yeah. So that's what we started exploring. And all I did was, he said, are you going to get back into acting? Because maybe he needed a narrative. His thing is he needs a story to tell.
So you got back into acting because he needed a narrative?
Yeah, in a way. Because I kept saying, no,
it wasn't something.
He's like, well, you gave up acting. Like, this is the pitch. You gave up acting to raise kids. I'm like, no, I didn't give up. I have children. I moved out. We started, we own restaurants. Like, life
happens. Then did he say, and then you have an affair with an unknown man. Your marriage falls apart. Your husband leaves
right,
you.
Right, right. Well, that's the question. Everyone's like, wait a minute.
So you had to do all
this? Did she do this for the film?
Yeah.
No, obviously, but the camera being there, it did affect everything, and we explored that. For me, it was just, my job was just to explore what it felt like to try to be natural in front of a camera, which was impossible, even as an actor, or maybe even more so because I'm so aware of myself anyway. Mm-hmm. So when he would turn the camera on, I mean, he's like, okay, I'll just watch you washing dishes. The second he turned the camera on, all of a sudden, I was like, I am washing dishes.
Yeah.
Look at my fingers.
Let me ask you about it. Do you wash dishes in slow-mo?
Right. Well, that's the thing.
With a viola or
playing in the
background?
Yeah, right. Well, that's the thing. And then he adds all of this melodrama. But, he had the same camera. I didn't know if he was shooting in slow-mo or regular. And it was always just one camera and him. And he's my friend. He's my neighbor. So we never had that, like, okay, the camera crew's coming over. He'd literally be like, hey, I'm going to come over for a couple minutes.
And do you dress to wash dishes? That's the other thing.
Well, yeah. These were things that as an actress, he said, you know, well, wear something. You know, I don't know what. We have some ideas. We didn't know what we were doing. We had no story. Yeah. And I never, ever imagined it being seen by anyone. You have to understand.
Yeah.
And half of the scenes that are in the film, like, he has me pausing because he told me, you know, you have to. I would always be like, oh, I'm sorry, Henry came in and interrupted whatever. He was like, no, you leave that to me. Leave all the bad stuff. I can edit that out. I'm an editor. You know, you just keep going with what you're doing, and if I don't like it, I'll cut it out. So towards the end, I learned to just kind of wait. If there was a loud noise, for example, in one scene, my pellet stove, which is heating my home in Beacon, New York, like grinds out in the middle of me trying to speak. And I pause because I'm like, okay, he can edit this out. Don't lose. He's going to get mad at you because I'm aware that the camera's on me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just being, as a professional actor, I know that I'm just like, pause. And then I go back. He leaves all of that in because for him, he finally got me to be real. He's like, there, now you're being real. And I was like, oh, you got me, you know? Because as an actor, I'm well aware. It was such a stripping away of everything I learned because, you know, I don't wear makeup in this. I mean, it's really a raw, my hair's a mess. I mean, and I couldn't even look at myself on watching The Wire because I was so aware of what I looked like. I was so concerned with my profile.
Watching it with your mother in that.
Right.
That was rather interesting, I thought.
Right. I mean, I just was something like, as an actor, I'm like, I don't want to know what I can't watch myself. And now all of a sudden, I'm sitting with Robert watching. It's freeing. I mean, it's like he stripped away everything all the barriers that I had to get about myself. Like I was playing the role of myself.
Yeah.
And he was there to
I could have done
it. Yeah. Now somebody's going to be cast in
now,
it.
I think I can do it now.
Who's going to play it? Who's going to play it in the real movie?
I'm watching your gestures and stuff, and I think I can do it. I can't be vivacious. It's my only problem. I don't have that. But it's a little bit like the Loud family. Remember the Loud family from PBS? Well, that was before your time, I think. But it was my time. They put cameras on this family, and all this stuff was revealed about them. The son was gay. They apparently didn't know that. It was pretty obvious to the rest of us. But you know, and so that was a big thing. And then they ended up getting divorced and all the stuff because they had the cameras around them constantly, like 24/7. And it sort of affected the outcome of their personal life. Is it anything similar?
Well, I think a little bit, but we did film it over 18 months,
and
it's only an hour and a half, 90 minutes.
Was he urging you to throw your husband out?
Yeah, no. See, and
it's good for the
film. What happened was, Robert had a whole idea of what he was actually, we really collaborated, because he had an idea of what he wanted to see, even though I don't know why, but he had to have a narrative. So he was like, you're going to get back into acting if you want to. So this took a year for me to even get an audition or something. And I said, I don't think I want to. He said, well, if you're ever doing anything, let me know. So finally I was singing a song at a show in New York City for friends. And he said, well, let me come film it. And that's how it started.
Was that the part of the film?
Yeah, it was like you. That was just a rehearsal. And that was one of the first things he ever shot.
Yeah.
And then he's like, okay, we have something. Now we have footage. Where can we go? When my relationship with my partner, who is a lovely person, by the way, and he's with my kids right now, supporting me and supporting this work, so we're still friends. We just are not partners anymore. Mm-hmm. Is he
your partner or is he your husband?
Well, we were never married. That's the problem.
Okay.
Because, I mean, we never got married. But we lived.
I've had partners, but they weren't married to them either. So.
We never got married. But we were husband and wife, of course. Like he said, I was his wife and whatever. But that legally, we didn't get married, which makes it a lot easier to break up, apparently. Just so you know. Like if you're not married, don't do it. No, I'm teasing.
He was like a brewmaster or something, too. That would be like living
in
heaven.
I mean, love beer. I mean, we're beer people. I know.
Yeah.
I was a smart lady.
Yeah.
But
that just happened to develop.
In a year and a half. I mean, in a year and a half of anyone's life, a lot of things go down, you know.
Yeah.
And I just had to happen to have someone filming it. But as I told Robert, he did not. He was devastated. He's our friend. He was kind of like, okay, well, we'll leave all of that out of the film. I mean, it was like, just so you know, this might be happening. It was kind of embarrassing for me. It's nothing I wanted. But then I was like, how can you leave it out of the film? because it's who I am. And he's like, well, okay, never mind. Are you going to be acting? And I'm like, how can you leave it out of the film? It's who I am. And all of a sudden I became like a collaborator in the, you know what, if we're going to do it. Because again, we could always squash the film. You know, it didn't exist. This film didn't exist. So, and then in the end, we started watching the first 20 minutes of seeing what Robert did with it. Because he takes it all out of context. It's my life, but it's like looking at photographs. Mm-hmm. It's just a moment in your life. And he then manipulates it into a story, into a narrative, yeah. into beautiful, you know, art. So because of that, I knew I was in good hands. You know, I said, I can look at it objectively and say, wow, this is a beautiful piece of art that you have, Robert. I don't like that shot. I think that one's, you know, but that's not my decision. You know, so it's his work now. You know.
But there are certain enigmatic things that are left unanswered. I guess that would be an enigma, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
In the film, the other man, I don't mean to probe here, but you put it on the screen. What
I
the
know,
heck?
I did.
The other man, yeah. which is only referenced, and it's not really clear who that would be, and you didn't really say much about it, except there's a lot of people involved.
Yeah, there's a lot of people involved, and yep. that other man did not want to, he couldn't be too involved at the time.
I see. Or do I?
It was one of those things where he was like, well, okay, he was like, you know, I don't want to be in this film. I'm like, okay, well, then if you want to date me, you'll have to wait until after the film.
Yeah.
Because I'm doing a documentary. Did I mention I'm doing a documentary?
Yeah.
And he was like, okay. You know, so there was this whole poll where I was like, I get it, but I've committed. It's a piece of art to me. It's my work. Yeah. I'm following it through.
Yeah.
And I absolutely appreciate your need for privacy. And
You're out of the film, right?
Right. However, your part's cut, so we're not dating.
And the other thing was the black eye or whatever, or the...
Oh, yeah.
And which you said you fell out of your car.
That's true.
Okay.
You have to see
it. It sure looked
too.
Like a shiner, though. And then...
I have the scar to prove it.
How does one fall out of one's car?
Well, I could...
Carrying
it was
groceries
very embarrassing.
Or something?
No, it was just... like on a hill, and, and I was getting out, and it was a long story, but it really happened that simply.
It did, okay.
People get in accidents. Do you ever trip and fall? I don't know.
No, they walk into doors. Usually is what happens, I think, pretty much, walk into a door. So I was wondering if that was sort of left hanging out there as like sort of like the hidden sub-story.
Well, we didn't know when this... Sometime we had to quit filming. Mm-hmm. Like our lives were now, you know, Robert says, like, Brandy was obsessed with being filmed and I was obsessed with filming her. And he wouldn't be home for dinner. And, you know, I needed to get on with my life. He was like walking in the house with the camera. And my boyfriend was like, no. Like, this is not going to be just like a lifelong thing that's happening because there was no beginning, there was no middle, and there was no end.
He will be an actress too, however.
Yes. So
we're hoping.
Well, that's, we were joking because here I am in Madison. Lovely Madison. And
the con of the upper.
Yes, the con.
C-O-N.
And I'm like, where's the camera? Because life is happening, people. You know, here we are. And it's dramatic. And if you're hanging out with me, it gets dramatic. So Robert's like, get the camera on. So there's already Actress 2 should be happening right now.
Yeah. And okay, the sequels, I don't know if it'll be good as the original. But
I don't know. Yeah.
By Actress 3, I think you should have it. So now are you back in the business? Did this actually stimulate you?
I am back in the business.
You
I am here.
Working
I am open for business. Yeah. yeah. No, this has been so wonderful.
You have a movie coming out as well.
I have a movie. Oh, yeah. Listen Up, Philip is an Alex Ross Perry directed film that premiered at Sundance, and it's going to be at the New York Film Festival, and then it will be released.
Then it will be here after the New York Film Festival.
Outside. I don't, you know, it's so funny, this business. I don't know anything about the business of film. You know, the festivals come first, and then you release nationwide or worldwide.
So was this in the works before this whole thing?
Robert Greene, the director of my film, Actress, edited Alex Ross Perry's film. I was in...
So he edited you into it?
Well, essentially, they need... Sean Price-Williams is a cameraman that worked on it. That did the scenes with the red dress. He just came over one day because he's a friend of Robert's. They're friends. We were all hanging out in this, and then they were doing a film together. I was in L.A., happened to be like poolside when I get a call from a producer and says we have a role for you with Jonathan Pryce and Jason Schwartzman in a script, listen up, Philip, we're sending it to you. Will you take the role?
Sounds good.
And I said, yes, you know, sight unseen. So that was lovely. And then a week later, I get a call from a friend saying, we need a businesswoman, strong, like your type on the wire, for a Diplo video, a Revolution song. Didn't you check it out? Will you do it? And so I was in Vermont. Like hanging out, like negotiating my own. Yeah, I'll do it. What, you know, but not knowing what you get into, it was amazing. The shoot was amazing. And
so you're back in the business.
So I have scripts.
Had you ever really intended not to, to leave the business?
I think I did, because when I became a mom, I loved being a mom. I was like, I got a master's degree in
making change,
domesticity. You know, I was baking bread. I live in the Hudson Valley. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I love seeing
you're actually making change in the little toy register.
Right, right.
You're
well, I did think that I was going to be more part of the businesses that my ex-husband runs. So I thought it was going to grow into something else. I love music. Yeah. I play music. So I was like, oh, maybe I'll start singing in a band, or you know, I was just living life, which is what I do every day. And I thought
that's
acting.
That's funny. I never tried that. What's
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah. But see, I consciously.
You get up and think, I think live.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, how am I going to live life today? Let's see. You know what? That's the actor in me. What role am I going to play today?
So you're back in the game.
I'm back in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This time. We
presume.
Well, yes. Another change of heart.
No, I've always been here, but I just have never done it the way I just don't play it by the rules of, like, I'm not like pounding the pavement. The roles have to come to me in a way, they have to be written for me, and I have to find it's a collaboration to me.
And was it hard? I mean, did you think, like, taking 2 or 3 years or 4 years or 5 years off, 6 years?
Yeah. Well, I never intended to.
And was it
to.
Hard getting back in? I mean, callbacks and that sort of thing.
As a female, you can't just, I mean, it's not something I chose to do, but you know, you're pregnant. You can't act the way you don't get those roles. You didn't choose to become pregnant? No, I did, but I didn't. It's not something I was like, well, maybe I'll put my acting career on hold. It's like other things became more important. But then all of a sudden I realized, oh, God, I'm out of it. Like, I have to, because it's a hustle. It's a constant hustle, like anything. If you want to be a part of it, you got to stay in the game. So getting back into it, Robert Greene came into my home and filmed me. So it was I'm just so blessed that he brought the work to me.
Wonderful. And the film is wonderful. It's called Actress. Brandy Bury, thank you so much for joining us here.
So happy to be here. Thank you so much.
Look for it at a place near you. Thank you, Brandy. Thanks for being here. She's going backstage, but there is no backstage. That's okay. All right. From Sandusky, Ohio. That's where she got that PhD, I guess, out there somewhere. Ohio State, maybe. I don't know. So, Johnny.
Yeah.
Jeffy.
It's a hustle. That's a part I never got.
What?
Music. Like, it's the hustle part. You got to be constantly hustling.
Well, you got to look for work. That's the part you never got.
Yeah. I'm glad you reminded me of that, though, because I'm going to start concentrating on
it. I'm going to start living my life now.
You should.
It's the kind of thing where you don't after a while, and I think, God, I'll start living my life. I'm not sure what's different about than just being here, but I'm sure that I could
make a movie like that. It could be like Guy or...
Radio Guy.
Feldman Guy, something like
Feldman
that.
Feldman Guy, radio.
Or just Feldman.
Feldman.
You know, and just go about your daily...
Whatever.
Stuff. Or how about who?
Yeah. All right, Michael, you got to go up and move around or something now, because right now this is just a still shot. Okay, I'll do something. I'll wash the dish. No, I don't do that.
Make some coffee.
You get the viola and I'll wash the damn dishes. Okay. What? Okay. Now here's a little tune that's something that this is something you did, isn't it? This song?
That I did?
That you
wrote? I did not write this, no.
No, didn't. Who did?
Randy Weston.
Randy Weston is good, too.
Piano player, yeah.
He's very good, too.
It's called Berkshire Blues.
Sounds good. With Jeff Hammond on the bass. Thank you.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Our bass player, Jeff. Well, let's try this then. Our piano player, John.
Our host, Little Michael.
Yes. Oh, look at this.
Oh, what happened?
I'm going home. I really need it. Okay. I'm doing this under protest, though. Bass player gets more applause than I do. Just a damn bass player. You play the bass or anything like that?
No.
Play any instruments at all?
Not at all.
No. Did you ever think about picking something up?
No, not really.
No? Do you sing?
Badly.
You care to sing a little something for us?
Not particularly, no.
Do you dance at all or?
Too sober.
You what?
I'm too sober.
You're too sober to dance? So when you're. If we got you drunk, would you dance?
Of course.
And what sort of dance would we see at that point?
Who would care?
You wouldn't care. We'd probably, we might care, depending on where it was, you know.
That's right. I mean, it, if you're intoxicated, who cares?
Yeah. I see you got your Wisconsin gear on, but I sense something in you that is not Wisconsin.
That's right. Yeah, I'm Ridgie from England.
So. No, you're not. I know you're not because there's another guy over there who claims to be from England, and he sounds nothing like you.
Oh, right. Oh, they come from Cambridge, you see.
They're from Cambridge?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's in England, isn't it?
Of course.
What's your point, then?
Different dialogues.
Different dialogues? Well, where is your dialogue from?
West London.
West London? Mm-hmm. Must be like far west, though, or something.
Yeah, perhaps.
Really far west? Almost in the water, I would think, at that point.
It is now, with the amount of rain about, I suppose, yes.
Oh, yeah. Where would that be, then, far west?
A place called Feltham.
Feldman? No. You're from Feldman in England.
We're related. Oh, it's so good to see you again.
My home village, Feldman in England. Felton? Felton.
F-E-L-T-H-A-M.
Oh, Feltham. Feltham.
Yeah, that's right.
What does that mean exactly to the English?
It means a village in the fields.
Oh, how cool.
Mm-hmm. It's a Roman name.
So I would be a man in the fields then, probably.
A man in the village in the fields.
Okay. Yeah. The Feldmans from Feltham would be really kind of confusing, you know, what they're doing out there. And is still that family still there?
Yes, I do, yes.
Were you the first to come over here?
No, maybe.
I don't mean like Columbus or something like that. I know. I mean like...
Fathers. Founding fathers from Feltham.
Are there founding fathers from Feltham?
So, no.
It's so difficult to say. You wouldn't think.
No, there's not.
When did you come over as a child?
No, as an adult.
As an adult?
Mm-hmm.
So you are an adult then?
Oh, yeah. Just. That
presumes you are an adult now.
Yeah, that's right. I was just...
Yeah. So, as an adult, and did you come over for a job offer or did you... Woman over here?
Of course. The latter. Follow the woman.
Of course, the latter?
Yeah.
Is this the woman you followed?
Yes, it is.
How did you find this over in Felton?
In West London.
Yeah. Were you looking for something in Felton? And
this
is what came up?
Or I was drunk.
Well, do you remember the name of the pub?
No.
We can piece this together somehow. There might have been someone there who saw it all happen.
Yeah. I really don't remember.
Yeah. You're from here, though.
I am.
Yeah. What were you doing over there?
That I don't know.
All right, let's go back a step here now. Are you from Wisconsin?
I'm from Independence.
Independence?
Yes.
Wisconsin or Missouri?
Wisconsin.
Okay. I didn't know we had one. You know, do we have our independence in Wisconsin? I hope so. Okay. Independence, Wisconsin. So you're taking a big, was it a trip to England?
Yeah, it was no school. It was just a trip.
Just a trip? Mm-hmm. Were you tripping, as a matter of fact? Maybe that's right.
I don't remember.
So you go over there with friends or family?
That I don't even know. I don't remember.
This really is a blank, and you come back, and this guy is with you.
That's the greatest thing about English pubs, you know.
Well, the beer, there's a lot more of it. They give you the...
Yeah, that's right. The pint's larger, yeah.
Okay. And then you found yourself back in America with this gentleman?
I did. He was sitting in the seat behind me. He was following me.
Oh. From England?
On a plane?
Yeah, that's right.
Not quite true.
That's exactly right. You know, we're not quite sure.
Leaving out some key data here that I don't...
Yeah, yeah, perhaps, yeah. No,
I can't keep calling you this gentleman here. You are?
Eddie.
Eddie, and you're?
Judy.
Judy, okay. And then shortly after he followed you home, then did you immediately marry?
Yes, definitely, that same day.
Four days later?
Yes, it was. By the time we got over here, and yes, it was like 4 days.
What was the hurry? You don't know.
I don't remember.
What a love story. That's the best love story I ever heard. It's transatlantic. It's got it all. Mystery. And how many years has it been now?
That I don't know.
12 years.
12 years. Congratulations. We have something for them, don't we?
We do.
For that love story.
How about a little bit of wine to celebrate spring in Wisconsin? From
what?
Wollersheim Winery. Wine
oh,
from Wollersheim Winery.
Yeah, wine a little wine there and see what happens with that one. Okay, something good. Thank you very much. All right, we're going to play a round of the What Do You Know quiz because it is a quiz show, and this is how we get our tax deduction by doing this, so we're going to earn that right now. We have to know who has that. The Ford Escalade. Yes, would you meet me down at the aisle over here? And we'll get this happening here. This is the four disclaimers. It tells us who can and cannot participate in this quiz, and you are?
Diane Clancy.
Are you from around here, Diane?
I'm from Green Bay. Well, I'm from the UP, but I live in Green Bay.
Okay, very nice. And I'll give that to you and just get out of your way.
All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. The Kentucky Wildcats versus the Wisconsin Kaminskis.
Wisconsin Kaminskis. I said it louder, that's all. I wasn't correct.
Number three. Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. Number four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who say otherwise is itching for a fight.
Very well done. Beautiful. We can keep that just to prove you were here. That'll take care of your parking when you leave. Just show them that. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to play the What Do You Know quiz. You know, this is wrong, but I see the young man who delivers my sandwich 2 or 3 times a week, and he's such a nice kid. That's Chuck over there. And I wish I could let you play the quiz, Chuck, but I can't. It would be wrong. Oh, come on, Chuck, come on there. Then I don't have to tip you so much. Let me ask you this. Do you think I'm an over-tipper? You ever get that feeling?
Never. I think you're an excellent tipper, and nobody is an over-tipper.
No one's ever given you 100 and say, here, live your life.
Well, sure they have, but I've never felt that it was too much.
And Chuck, so you're from here, right? You're from here?
Madison, Wisconsin, yeah.
Okay, anything else you want to say about your background? Did you go to school here?
Yeah, stay in school. Because I didn't.
Okay, that's all right. A lot of famous people didn't.
Yeah, I want to be one of them someday.
Give me one good reason, Chuck, why you should play this quiz.
I've been listening all my life. Listening to the show, loving the show.
Poor guy. Come on, this will be an end to it then. Once you play the quiz, it's over. No more listening. Still bring the sandwiches though. Emilio's. I like the Emilio's. Okay, Chuck. So is your family in town or where are they at?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, my parents. My sisters are in Miami and Basel, Switzerland.
No kidding.
Indeed.
But you stayed here.
I stayed here.
Yeah. Where'd you go? Did you go to West?
I went to Memorial, Madison Memorial.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, it really is.
Our big rivals, you know. That's okay. Well, Madison West, don't have our own stadium. We've got to use Memorial's stadium. So if we're the home team, we're playing Memorial in their stadium as the home team. It's horrible, a horrible thing.
And we have parking.
And you have parking. We have a graveyard. We have a very nice graveyard, which we can't evict, apparently, and we should do it. We'll put a little parking in there. I'm sure they wouldn't mind if we parked between the stones. We got no parking. How are things otherwise?
Oh, wonderful.
What do you do when you're not running around in that car which is going to die on you?
Oh, God.
Delivering Emilio's sandwiches. Oh, I mean, what are your loves in life?
Reading.
What do you like? Reading?
I love reading.
What are you reading right now, Chuck?
Nothing.
What would you be reading if you had a copy of it?
Oh, God. Catch 22. Favorite book ever.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you have it, but you don't read it? You haven't read it? Or you will get a copy and you will read it? You have read it, and that's it.
I will find it.
Yeah. I was just telling my daughter about that the other day.
Pretty important to know about. Everybody should read that book.
Yeah. Because you identify with Yossarian.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Totally.
Yes, sir.
Ever climb a tree naked?
I got naked in a tree, but I...
another time. Ixnay. And then what about sports or activities or hobbies? Oh. Or what do you do, Chuck? I don't know much about you. I just overtip you.
Let's change that.
And then you go.
I used to play hockey. I still play hockey every
once
in a while.
Are you a hockey player? Yeah, okay.
Go Penguins.
Yeah. Cool.
And yeah, and I watch a lot of TV, watch a lot of Netflix.
Yeah. Okay. But you're not playing hockey so much anymore, but.
No, yeah. watching it.
Netflix. And you got a TiVo, I bet, there and everything. And
yeah.
Do you?
DVR.
So you really don't have a life is what you're telling each other. This is all very sad. I'm sorry I asked.
Me too.
Yeah. Have you got a, you know, significant other or?
Oh, not right now.
No, you're just...
Not very significant.
I'm sure she'll be glad to hear that. That's going to seal that deal. Well, you know, and then... But you got big plans. You know, lots of things you're going to...
Yeah, that's what I tell my parents.
Yeah. Are you living at home yet?
No.
Thank God for that.
Not
Jeff.
For a few months.
Not for a few months. I like you, man. You're really a nice guy. You got to get out of the house and do some stuff, though. Invent an app or something. All these guys, you should be a billionaire. How old are you?
Old enough to be a billionaire.
Yeah, you should be a billionaire. No, I'm saying you're 20, at least 23, right?
Yeah, 29, secretly.
Okay.
Well, but don't tell
anyone. You should be a billionaire
anyone.
Twice over by 29. No, that's good. You're good. It'll be good. I'll be good. If I can help you in any way, I doubt it. Right. Chuck, son out there plays along with you. You know how that works, or don't you?
Yes,
you do.
I do.
Did your parents used to play this to you, like when you were going to hockey practice?
Absolutely. Yeah. Me and my dad. It was a wonderful, wonderful time going up all over through the state and listening to you be awkward with people.
Thank you. And now it's you.
And now
you
it's are me.
You are the awkward person I'm being awkward with. So if there plays along with you, how does that work then?
People who want to play along, pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669. Uh-huh. And you ask them a qualifying question.
Oh, I do. Okay, I'll get that then. All right, the Great Extinction at the end of the Permian period. Who done it? Is a question. Now there's been a lot. There's something recent been in the news recently. They got a new villain to blame for the Great Extinction of most species at the end of the Permian age. The question is, who is the latest suspect? Put your arm down, sir. You are not the suspect. You got to stop saying that you're guilty of everything because you're not. Get over that. Let's go to the phones right now. The latest suspect in the extinction of the Permian. And Nick's on the line. He's in La Crosse. Or he's on the way to... Are you in La Crosse?
I'm on the way to Madison, actually. Oh, wait. Watch the Fab Four.
Are you? Where are you going to watch it from?
That's a good question. Hopefully a nice eating, drinking establishment.
Yeah. Echo Tap. We have people here who are going to be at the Echo Tap tonight. That's a good place. Yeah. You can be there.
All right.
That's right on Bedford Street there.
Okay.
Okay.
Never heard of it, but okay.
No, you'll like it. Honestly, you'll like it. The food's good, too, but who's going to eat? Who can eat in these circumstances? The beer's very good. Nick, mm-hmm. Who's the latest suspect in the Great Extinction at the end of the Permian age or era, whatever it was?
And the question is who?
Who or what is responsible for it?
Okay. I thought I heard something about there was like an asteroid, and then it was stuff that shot back up into the atmosphere, superheated, and basically everything got wiped out by heat.
No, that was a movie. I saw that movie. It wasn't very good even. No, that's not the latest suspect, though. Sorry,
okay.
Nick.
Well, thank you.
See you at the Echo Tap.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, sorry. Mike's on the line from Radford, Virginia. Mike.
Hey, good afternoon.
How are you?
Good.
Good. You know this one, don't you, Mike?
I didn't quite hear the question.
Okay.
Switch over.
That's because you were dialing before it was asked.
That's true.
The latest suspect for the Great Extinction in the Permian Age era epic.
Who caused it? What caused it?
What caused it, yeah.
Okay.
It's a new one we hadn't heard before. Any idea? Oh, sorry.
I'm coming. I bet floods.
No, sorry. Okay. Mike's in Medina, Tennessee. Mike, you know, don't you?
I heard it this week, and I cannot remember. I know they decided it wasn't the volcanoes.
Yeah. Something smaller, maybe?
It wasn't the asteroid.
Something smaller, maybe.
Something smaller.
Yeah. Something microscopic size, maybe.
Some type of bacteria.
Okay, we'll take that, Mike, because we're desperate. Yes, microbes. Microbes, ocean microbes secreting methane. So with all our cows around here, we could have another one real soon is what I'm thinking. Okay, Mike, how are you? Pretty good?
Doing great today. Okay. Beautiful day in West Tennessee.
Well, that's wonderful. We have almost no time here, so we're going to give you a one for it. Oh, by the way, Chuck, this is Mike.
Hello, Mike.
Mike, Chuck. This is a one-fer for all the money. You get this question right, we'll give you the whole quiz because we got no time. Okay, cool?
All right,
here it is. So one question from which category would you like it?
Either current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, Mike, we'll let you pick. What category would you like?
Things you should have learned in school.
All right. Here's the question. Were the Vikings 6-foot-long double-edged swords actually used as walking sticks?
Or not. You're on the home court.
Well, you got to think that, you know, anything can be used as a walking stick. I would imagine that that's not what they were made for.
Right.
But
a hockey stick could be a walking stick.
Hey, yeah. I mean, yeah. Walk into the penalty box. Yeah. you know, I would think technically, yes, because anything can be. But
forget technically.
Yeah, well, let's just be... real.
I mean, is that what they used them for? As I'm saying, they came in walking on their swords.
I got to think that they were more weapons, or at least decorative, not walking sticks. What do you think, Mike?
Decorative, certainly. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, not walking sticks.
So you're saying no? No is right. Are you kidding me? You're going to carry that to walk on?
Chuck, you'll become an expert on everything from the peculiar to the ponderous. Reading What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you wanted to know by Michael Feldman from Sourcebooks. Mike, begin every morning like you're at the What Do You Know show with Stephen Brew's Breakfast Blend and enhance your afternoon with rich and smooth Costa Rican Terrasu from Madison's Stephen Brew Coffee. That's coffee done right. And each of you can write notes, letters, or memos with a specially crafted pencil from the newly remodeled Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, and mail news of your quiz victory the old-fashioned way on a half dozen vintage What Do You Know postcards. Congratulations to both.
Like that.
Thank you.
See you real soon.
Awesome.
Okay. I say no tip for like 3 weeks. Mike, hang in there. Thanks for playing.
Our next live show will be April 26th at Monona Terrace here in Madison, featuring a live performance from Willie Porter. Reserve your seat today at notmuch.com. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is, of course, our producer international. This is PRI, Public Radio International. Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, we go big on data with UW professor Jignesh Patel. Thanks for the memos and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Okay.
And now, the man who believes Kentucky's just a paper wildcat, it's Michael Feldman.
Okay. Okay, we're back here. We never left, as a matter of fact. The wonder of radio. We stay right in where we were before. And, you know, each week at this time, we read actual memos sent in by actual listeners. And I'm sorting through them here, and I thought I had one that was pretty good. Oh, this one's pretty good. Exactly. I guess it's a memo. Okay. Here it is. I think this is the newspaper clipping. Wait a minute now. This gets complicated.
Hold the phone.
This gets complicated. No, that's not it. Here it is. Okay. This is actually a notice in the West Branch Times. Where is West Branch? Is that Iowa? Yeah, West Branch Times. Okay, right next. It's the obituaries, but it's not the obituary, so that's good. Okay, here it is. St. Bernadette's Catholic Church on Orange Street. Father Greg Steckel, pastor. And it reads as follows. Wednesday, March 5th, 6 p.m., Ass Wednesday. Mass. No religious education. Okay, well, that's... So that was pointed out to me in this memo. Thank you. That's pretty good. Then this memo here, it's a twofer. Posted in an elevator in Janesville, somewhere in Janesville. It is rare, the notice says, it is rare but on occasion the elevator doesn't want to open on the first floor. If this should happen, you press the open door button. If that doesn't work, select the second floor button, and you should be able to exit the elevator on the second floor. If that doesn't work, keep pressing all the buttons, but give it a minute for the command to work. If nothing works, then press the alarm button. If no response by someone on the first floor, then use the phone. If the phone does not work, wait for help. Thank you very much. That's the memo, and that's a good one. We've all been in that situation, I think. All right. We do have some all the news that is from around here. And, of course, this is one that we wait for. Two fishermen rescued from ice floe on Dane County Lake. You always hope that their tackle and their buckets and stuff go with them, you know, when they go out on that ice floe. They don't know it's an ice floe before it actually starts floating. This is McFarland here. It was a close call for two fishermen who found themselves stranded on a patch of ice on a Dane County lake. First one of the year that I saw, April 3rd, this one. Lee Shearer, Dave Robinette, because their names deserve to be mentioned, ventured out on the ice of Mud Lake in McFarland Wednesday afternoon, but 6 hours later, their path to shore had melted. And there was water all around them. That would make an ice floe, I think, if you had water all around you. Fortunately, they had a cell phone and were able to call 911. McFarland and Madison firefighters and Dane County Sheriff's deputies responded. Some rescuers even went through the ice as they brought the men to shore. Shearer says help arrived just in time. He says if it been a half hour later, he and Robinette would have been swimming. So thank you for those rescue guys out there. Oak Creek is always good for news around here. A woman intentionally tripped a child at Kohl's on March 28th because he wouldn't tie his shoes, according to the Oak Creek police report. A woman intentionally tripped a child at Kohl's. The woman apparently told the boy repeatedly that his shoelaces were untied. The boy's mother told the woman they would take care of it, but as they were leaving the store, the woman said, "I'll show you what happens if you don't tie your shoes." And then stepped on the boy's shoelaces, causing him to trip into his mother. The boy or the mother was not injured. The officer spoke with store security, who positively identified the suspect, and police left a warning about the complaint at her residence. Okay, I'll show you what happens. Then Cudahy is always good, too. Cudahy, police chief, nearly hit by a BB outside police station. A 58-year-old man is under investigation after the Cudahy police chief was nearly hit with a BB last week. Chief Thomas Pellott was walking to his car, parked behind the department building on Lake Drive, about 4:30 p.m. March 21st, when he heard a whooshing sound, according to an affidavit. He continued walking but heard a similar sound a few seconds later and took cover, fearing for his safety, and alerted officers and dispatchers. Officers swarmed the area but could not find where the sound came from. The next day, an investigator noticed that a no parking sign close to Lake Drive had 5 indentations in it, as if hit by BBs, that appeared to have come from a house across the street. Police searched the house in that block on March 26, found a pellet gun, 2 handguns, 2 shotguns, and 1 rifle. So it could have been worse. He just used the BB gun, and he was shooting at the sign. Reached by Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this week, Pellet gun, declined to discuss the case while it was under investigation. Okay. Happy ending. He wasn't. There's this one. This is more of a warning. Waukesha woman accused of performing dentistry without a license. So you want to watch out for that. Did you see this one? Yeah. 36-year-old Waukesha woman charged with practicing dentistry without a license after she improperly installed braces on a 13-year-old boy inside her home. The boy subsequently complained of pain in his teeth and that his gums were bleeding. One of the brackets of the braces came loose within 2 hours of the appointment. One of the boy's parents told a police officer. An adult patient who suffered permanent tooth damage from braces installed by the woman was not willing to seek charges against her. She did not have sterilization equipment in the residence, told an officer she did not think it was necessary. She bought her supplies off the internet. She charged $350 for the initial installation of braces. Well, it's cheap, though. Braces are thousands, you know, so it's a trade-off. The discount price attracted customers, and she worked as many as 10 patients a day, she told officers. This is in Waukesha, so just be aware that this is happening out there. And finally, just here, know why not everyone should be a criminal. Masked man in bank refused to take off sunglasses, police say. A potential bank robbery was thwarted Monday when a man wearing, wearing a surgical mask and carrying an empty deposit bag refused to take off his sunglasses. Suspicious. When asked, and left the bank without doing anything, police reported. Besides the sunglasses, his head and face were concealed by a hood and a surgical mask. The man was waiting in line for a teller. When a manager asked him to remove his sunglasses, he shook his head and left on foot. So there you have it. Don't go into crime if you're not fit for it. Okay. That's it. Well, did you ever wonder about big data?
Yeah.
Did it? Chuck, is that you again, Chuck? You're done, Chuck. Stay off my show now. Just bring the sandwiches. I don't want to hear about this anymore. Big data. I mean, what is it? You know, you hear metadata, big data. You hear all kinds of data. Everything's data.
Metadata.
Metadata. Well, Jignesh Patel is here with us today. He is the big man on campus on big data. In fact, they call him big data. Would you welcome, please, Jignesh Patel, ladies and gentlemen, the man who knows about big data. And what it means, and what it doesn't. Thank you. You're here at the UW, and what is actually the name of that department that does big data here?
Computer Sciences Department.
Well, that's what they call it, yeah? Huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a lot different than it was probably when you started studying computers and all that, isn't it?
Yeah, the field was very different, but we had started to look at data and how to analyze data even way back 20 years ago when I was a student over here.
Yeah. And we didn't used to have data. I was thinking when I was a kid, I don't remember anyone saying data. I don't think we had it. Or we had a datum. We had a single piece. There's no datum anymore, is there?
No. I think we've always had data. Now, I think what has changed is we've been able to store and keep a large volume of that data around. We don't throw things away. It's kind of like going to your basement and keep on collecting stuff. You don't have to throw things away or empty out your basement because we can build bigger and bigger basements for you to keep accumulating your data.
That's very frightening.
It is. It is.
Yes. Shouldn't we be very afraid of all this data? Our data is being collected because we're not collecting it necessarily. Some other, you know, Amazon's collecting it, or Apple is, or UW is collecting it in their basement there.
Yeah, that's right. No, we don't collect data on our students right now. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah,
just kidding. Right?
But you know, we do collect data too. So people put a lot of their pictures and a lot of their interactions on social media. So in some sense, that is data that belongs to us, and we keep it with these social networking sites, and we share it with our friends and family. So
when you say we, who is we in this case?
So anyone who's in on a social network.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But who is keeping it then?
Oh, so the big companies are keeping it, but we are the ones who are creating it, and we are the ones who are accessing it.
So that, and there are these giant things in the middle of Oregon or something like that, right?
Yes. So they are called big data centers. They are
good name for them.
That's right.
They're big and they have data.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And it's It's like taking big football fields and putting in big farms of servers. Sometimes they are called server farms, and in fact, many of those are built over what used to be farms.
Yeah.
So, and you go into one of these, and there will be hundreds of thousands or millions of computers.
Have you been in? Are they? They're very tight security, aren't they?
They're very tight security. Yeah. So usually these places don't have people actually moving around over there. Very few people are actually going to be in these centers, and there are some installs where no human being goes in. It's just built, assembled. You plug it in, and then
there's no human beings in these.
There's no human beings. No, not in the big data centers, but there are smaller. Sort of container-sized data centers in which you really don't have human beings going inside.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, I feel like who steals my data steals nothing. You know, but apparently, not just everything that, every transaction and every social network thing, but also my location. Now, location's a big one. That's location, right?
Yep. That's right. Okay.
That's what you're into, right?
No, it's a whole bunch of things, including location. Yeah. But you're right. We all carry around phones with us, and we run a lot of apps on these phones, and every time we start interaction with those apps, we are in feeding data to that app, and that gets collected most of the times and analyzed for a variety of purpose, including trying to provide us better service or trying to better understand what we are doing, and sometimes it gets used in ways that we probably don't want it used that way.
Yeah. Such as what way? Might it be misused?
It might be misused. So, for example, there's a huge concern about kids putting up the data on social networks and not really recognizing that that data doesn't really go away for a while. Recruiters routinely look at what activities potential employees have on these social networks before doing that. Yeah. So we all have to be a little bit careful about what we put up out over there.
Yeah, but whether we're careful or not, they get it, right?
They do get it, and we use them, so they get that data. And the hope is they're providing us a service. All of these services are free in the sense that we don't pay for them right away, but we pay for them by advertisements that get shown to us. And the hope is that we get shown advertisements when we use any of these services that are relevant to us, because even for the advertisers, it doesn't make sense to show you an advertisement for something that you would never buy because it's just a waste of money.
But so there was a science fiction movie, so the guy was walking down the street, and as they're walking down, billboards that are geared to them, as they pass them, flashes something that's appropriate to something that it's a place that they've been or whatever.
Yes, yes.
And so, and that's not no longer science fiction.
That's no longer science fiction. Yeah. And so we are starting to see that happen in a big way. And some of it is good, some of it is bad. Of course, we get to see the information that we want in a timely fashion, in a way that is personalized for the way we are, we like to receive that information. But it can also be a little bit dangerous because then it's very easy for you to just live in your own little world where you're surrounded by ideas and things that you like. So it's not, you know, we no longer have this mechanism where you just stroll through a library and pick up a book from a shelf that you didn't intend to go and start reading it or talk to people that you didn't really sort of know before or sort of expected to have the same sort of opinions as you do. So there is a cost to some of this hyper-personalization. So we, as a society, need to be very aware of what this technology does. And in some sense, we have to be more aware of the way these things work and try to get ourselves out a little bit more receptive to new ideas, new ways of thinking, and not just go into a tunnel vision of what we've already presupposed.
Well, now that I'm, we need to be more aware. But I mean, it's hard to understand it, right? Because it's the people who are like on the genius level, like yourself.
No.
I mean, you know, people are real smart now, and you know, for example, all the phone records, that whole thing with Snowden and all that stuff, are phone records, and which in and of itself, they don't really actually look at what you say on the phone, but they tell where your calls went and so forth. And the same thing, like on this location stuff, they know where your location. What is the value of knowing someone's location at any given point in time?
So a lot, especially if you combine it with other pieces of information that you have, right?
Yeah.
So for example, if I know that you're looking for a specific type of an apparel, like a hat or a cap, and you're next to a store that sells that type of hat, then you know I could use your location along with things that you have an inclination towards purchasing and maybe try to send you a promotion that tries to bring you in.
Yeah.
So,
but it's not all just targeting at that individual. It's like making decisions on a mass scale of what will be produced
Yeah.
And, you know, what sort of products and stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, if you take a...
Is that good or is that... I don't know.
I think it's a mixed bag. I don't think there's an answer per se to say it's just good or bad, right? So I think a lot of the use of data is to try to eliminate waste and improve the efficiencies with which businesses provide services to the end consumers. And at the end of the day, the businesses provide what consumers demand. So, for example, if you're a retailer and you're trying to produce 100,000 shirts of a new design, you would like to know whether there's going to be a market for that or if you target customers.
Shouldn't you know that before you get into the business?
Well, but yeah, you should. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the whole trick. It's you don't necessarily always know what's going to be a hit. Fashion changes over time or people's preferences change over time. And now you have a lot more data to potentially try and figure out what's going to be a trend or what's going to be a more receptive market for something that you want to produce.
Doesn't this actually sort of, in a way, couldn't it work against innovation? Because most innovation is not based on whether someone's going to need this device or it's useful somehow in our society, but the fact that someone has just come up with this idea in a lab, at Bell Labs or something, and this is, you know, an amazing idea, and it's a great leap forward that was unexpected. But if you're looking just at what people are doing now, you're going to just give them more of that.
So you're right, but it generally doesn't work that way. And so you can take all of the technology that we have and actually turn it around, and people do that routinely. So instead of saying, I'm just going to try one of these things as a product to try and produce, you could try to find smart ways to say, let me try and do 1,000 experiments. And there'll be small bets that you take. And then you put that out and see what catches on. And that's what you go after. So technology can actually help you de-risk some of these choices that you make. And in fact, innovation doesn't have to stop. You might be able to do more innovation and take more bets if you make use of all of this technology. So, and that's how you see a lot of, if you take an app, for example, or if you think about screen design for a popular social network, they're constantly trying to figure out what colors work well on those screens for specific demographics. And they can just experiment with that on a massive scale. And then if blue works for you, you're going to start to see a lot of blue on your screens when you go to these websites. And so innovation doesn't have to stop. You could actually turn that around and use the technology to let 1,000 flowers bloom and see which is the best one for you as opposed to being someone else.
But it seems to me that you start seeing just a lot of blue screens. You know, and then we all have blue screens and we all have, you know, orange whatevers, and then there's, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Wouldn't it tend to standardize sort of things and what would sell?
Yeah.
Things that were iffy, they're innovative, but maybe would not sell, would not even be produced.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And this goes back to the initial conversation we were having, is that we have to be careful that we still try to take non-linear directions every once in a while and try things that's outside sort of our comfort zone. And you're right, a lot of innovation comes from that. But all I'm saying is it doesn't have to stop with it. You can say, I can try some of these things out, but now I can quantitatively evaluate fairly quickly as to what is the value of that type of an innovation. We still need to take some long-term bets and long-term risky, follow some long-term risky ideas. You know, I'll give you a good example. For in medicine, we are constantly trying to discover new drugs, but there, all of this technology, big data, helps in a way, because in the old days, we used to design drugs that sort of worked across an entire population. But each and every one of us is unique and different in the way we work, in terms of the way our genotype works. And now with big data, you can try to figure out what those nuances mean for specific diseases and try to produce what are called designer drugs.
Designer drugs, yeah.
Yep. So that has spurred innovation to the next level, which would not have been possible without the technology to be able to look at this data at this level of fidelity and then make sense of it.
Yeah. And you have developed yourself this thing called,
Locomatics, yep.
Locomatics.
Yeah. So that was a platform for mobile data-driven services. So location, for example, what you were saying, we had deployed it in the city of Madison, where if you were a bus driver, you could get information about when the bus outside your stop was 5 minutes away. So if you're taking the bus every morning at 8 o'clock, and if it gets very cold, like we've had a very brutal winter, and you don't want to stand out there for more than a minute, and the bus is a little bit behind, then the app would tell you it's 2 minutes away, it's time for you to come out.
A regular person would get this app?
Yes,
or a bus driver would have it?
No, a regular person.
The Chicago CTA has that.
Right, they do.
Yeah, you could. Yeah. There's an app for that.
So you know they're going to be standing there for a half hour, no matter what you do, anyhow. But it's just, it's even crueler, I think.
Yeah, in maybe while you're standing there, you could be on your favorite social network yeah. and looking at.
Well, that's interesting. And that's something that you own that, or does the University of Wisconsin own that?
So I started that.
I mean, this is probably.
Yeah, so I started that company with my friend Karthik Ramasamy. He was also a graduate from here at Wisconsin and the students.
This is your own company.
And so I started this when I was a professor at Michigan 6 years ago.
So they own it?
Nope. Now Twitter acquired that company last summer. So it's part of Twitter now.
It's part of Twitter. Oh, that's cool. Congratulations. That's
Thank
a
you.
Big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So so how would that work on Twitter then?
They won't let me tell you that.
See what I mean? This is why people are worried about it. It's proprietary or something. It's good though, right?
Yeah,
it'll be
yeah,
a good
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, there are a bunch of signatures I had to sign. So yeah.
Okay. So it's somewhere where you are when you're tweeting.
Yes, yes. You
Can
know,
we say that?
Yes, of course, yes. Because
they keep asking me. Twitter wants to know where you are, and I always say, no, forget you. I don't
yeah, but yeah. You're smart. You're pretty aware about your privacy, and I think everyone should
be a little bit
aware.
Home.
Yeah, I'm always in the same place. That throws off the whole paradigm because I don't move hardly at all or something.
Yeah.
Then we're in this other thing, though, which is really it's a Star Wars between data centers and between clouds.
Yeah.
And storing all this data. And it'll be like a world war eventually, won't you think? Between, you know, the Samsung cloud versus the Apple cloud versus the Amazon versus Google.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that competition is already starting to happen. Yeah, everyone wants to be the place where you store all the data about everything that you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what's the upshot of that, though? I mean, that's kind of a little bit disturbing because there's this competition for all your personal information that you didn't know they had in the first place.
No, they have all your personal information. You just didn't know they had.
Yeah, I know. That's, I mean, we didn't know. Even though I say I try to uncheck anything that says, you know, track me or whatever and stuff, but they still have a lot.
I think what they're competing for is different aspects of your life.
My soul.
Yeah, your soul, and you could no, I'm just kidding. but what they are trying to do at the end of the day, you wouldn't put your data in those services unless you can get some value out of it, right? So all of these guys are trying to provide you some service for you putting some part of your life and digitizing it, right? Whether it is your photos or your interactions or the messages that you send. And it's good that there's a competition for all of that because that drives prices down. It drives innovation from the perspective of them providing you better services or new techniques to use, like you know you don't have to wait outside and freeze while if the bus is late. So yes, I think there's a fierce competition, and we don't know when the dust settles as to who's still going to stand. Some of these big companies may not stand.
Yeah, will there be an ultimate winner to all this? I mean, eventually someone's going to win and have all the data.
Hopefully there probably won't be just one winner. There'll be a whole bunch of winners for different aspects of things. So I think that's probably how it'll end up. And that's a good thing that we'll always have some competition. I think it'll be very hard for some single company to just be the only person that stands. It's a fiercely competitive field, and everyone wants a piece of it. There's a lot of action, there's a lot of change, and even big companies can fall anytime. So the field moves very fast.
And one gets the sense that products aren't important for themselves so much as they are as important to who is using them, when, and where.
Right. And
that's kind of weird, though, isn't it? I mean, we're not really talking about producing a new product or a better battery or a better whatever. But
no, we are talking about all of that.
We're just learning.
It's
like give it to them and see where what they do with it, and then we'll get the next one and sell that to them.
But below all of that is, you know, what are we essentially doing? We are essentially trying to improve the productivity that each of us has, whether it is in a workplace or whether it is at home in our personal lives, right? So we can stay in touch with our friends and family in a lot better way. And I completely agree with you. We should still go out and interact with people, just like you were giving an advice to your quiz participant a little while ago. So we shouldn't stop doing that.
You can't go by Chuck, though. I mean, this kind of doesn't come down to Chuck versus
big data. I know. He did a great job. Yeah. There's a balance, and we're just trying to be more productive. I think all of us do, I think, a lot more things now because we have access to these technologies at the tip of our phones. so we can find things, we can get to things without getting lost.
But don't you really think? It's really not about us or even about the product. It's about these companies. I mean, there's incredible wealth being, I mean, look at Amazon, for example. That guy's got everything covered now. Bezos owns practically the ruler of the world now. And he's done it through the products and the books and all that stuff. But those things are not even important to him. You get the feeling. The important to him is that he has total control over consumers' habits, you know. You know, and knowing their preferences and knowing what they're going to want next and stuff.
Yeah, so I think two points to that. One is I agree that hyper-personalization is something that we all as consumers have to be aware of that. And at the end of the day, these companies cannot provide you something that you do not want. So if we all are aware of what we want and demand that, the innovation that we have in this country will produce companies that will provide that for you. Mm-hmm. And even these big companies that you talk about, they don't provide you all the services that you need. Right?
But they want to.
They all want to.
That's the goal.
That's
it?
Right. Yes. And it is good they all want to, because that's what keeps them competing with each other and trying to produce the next thing. That you would want to buy or purchase. So I think there is this huge amount of competition, absolutely, but it's not a single company that controls it. At the end of the day, these guys will only sell what you are willing to spend your money or your time with. Things are pretty finicky, right, especially when you're selling things to end consumers. Consumers switch out of apps very quickly. Remember, there was a time there was MySpace. It's not what people spend a lot of their time on. So you constantly have to innovate. Even these big companies that you're talking about, if they stop innovating, they'll die very soon.
Yeah. And so you think it's for us, not for them.
They are in it to make money, right? But they are not going to make money if they have a product that you do not want. Right.
So I'm wrong to feel that any of this is
No, it's not us against them. Or... It is both of us. I feel
I'm trying
that
to be reassured
all...
here.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
Okay.
We should get you one of these free products or something like
that. Yeah, give me free products and an app that will change my life.
There you go.
The killer app, Jignesh. Thank you for taking
time
to do this. Very interesting. At the University of Wisconsin, ladies and gentlemen, Jignesh Patel, professor in computer sciences. It's big. That's all I know, is that it's big. I'm of the previous generation that didn't have data. We had punch cards. I remember we had IBM punch cards. And that was data, I guess, in those days.
And the metadata.
Had your whole, metadata. We didn't get to that, did we?
No. The data about the data.
Yeah. Meta World Peace. What about him?
Whoa. Ryan? No. He's a good player, though.
How does he figure in this?
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he's probably got some apps.
Yeah, probably does. All right, okay then. Anything you want to promote here? Anything upcoming events or gigs or living your life? Are you living your life anywhere?
Yeah, I'm going to start today.
First day of what's left
first
of your
day
life.
Of the rest of
the
what's
first
left.
Day of what's left of your life.
What little is left.
All right, let's hear something then.
Okay, this is a tune called Mr. Lucky.
Oh, yeah, great.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
That was a good one, though. We got to give him credit for that one. Okay. How's everybody doing? Pretty good there? Yeah? Okay. All right, fine. Got your data all secure? Do you worry about your data at all, sir?
No.
No.
You think you don't have data?
No data.
I don't mean do you have any data on you, but someone must have your data.
If you have a phone, you have data.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And an app.
Does that worry you that someone's got your data?
No.
Okay. Never even think about it, I bet, huh?
Try not to.
Okay. If you think about it for a minute, then does it bother you?
No.
Do you have data in England?
I guess so, yes. Yeah.
These days, probably you left before there was data.
That's right, yeah. Before we did leave, yeah.
a record of you there probably at all. Then.
No, no criminal records at all.
No, I don't mean criminal. That you probably got is what I'm thinking. Oh, a few, you know, altercations, nothing big.
Nothing big at all, no.
Good. We have a data analyst here. Or is it data analyst? Greg Kramer. Where is Greg? You're back there. Can you put this in perspective for me? You heard what was said there. And should we, now you work, of course, with CUNA Mutual. That worries me if they have my data, actually, out of CUNA. But I'm, they'll be good with it, I'm sure. But was that pretty, well, come over here because you're in the dark. Okay. How are you?
Great, thanks. Thanks for talking to me.
What does a data analyst do then? You analyze data?
Well, honestly, I'm an accountant, but data analyst is the term that works these days. So.
Well, that's just the job heading, so you had nothing to do with data.
Well, no, I actually have transformed or morphed myself from an accountant into a data analyst because that's where you want to go.
Is that like, was contortion involved, or what was it?
This is my mother, and she would very much agree there was a lot of contortion.
Yeah. So accountant, my dad was a CPA, but he had no idea about data in his day.
No, it's, you know, I...
So now do you analyze data? Is what I'm trying to get at.
I do very much, indeed.
So what, like, typically, what do you analyze in a given day? What sort of data? And what do you, when you analyze it, you just look at it and say, oh, well, that's interesting. And are you...
Well, I can't say a ton, probably, but we do...
See, how are we supposed to understand this stuff and no one can tell us what they're actually doing with our data?
Well, we do. CUNA is an insurance outfit, and we do forecasting.
You don't have to be specific. Okay, typically, what sort of, you look at stuff, and then you conclude, and then you do this, and it's and then what happens from that?
Well, yeah, I think Jignesh commented that you know you don't want to sell things to people that you know that they don't want. Okay. So you know you're looking at 5-year forecasts, and you're kind of you know you've got a lot of data,
like weather forecasts or.
Well, where CUNA is going to be in 5 years.
So you're looking for out for CUNA Mutual,
right?
In term of forecasting the
products and what folks and demographics and where they're going to.
Working for them, in other words.
That's very much the case.
That's a good thing to do.
Very good.
You deserve it. You're good at it. Have a seat now. I don't mean to keep you up here. So I'm supposed to talk to you, I guess, about what he's doing. Do you have any idea what he's doing?
Absolutely none what my daughter or my two sons do. They try to explain it, but I never understand it.
What's your field? What field were you?
Well, fortunately, I'm retired. I was a lab technologist in the years that I worked, but now I'm able to come and visit with my son and grandchildren.
Lab technologist, you can understand that because they tell you what you're looking at and everything.
Absolutely. It's very difficult for me to understand, though I do am computer literate. Don't get me wrong. I'm not one of those. I get on the computer and really feel like I couldn't run my life without it. Now
are you on Facebook a lot and social networking? And
well, that, but I mean, I do. I write a newsletter, and so it helps me in many phases of my life.
Yeah. But they take all that data that you put in there, and someone has got it somewhere in a cloud.
I lead a very boring life. I don't think they'd find it.
You're going to bore them to disregarding your data?
That's a good way of putting it.
Very good.
Your name is?
Judy. Judy Kramer.
Judy Kramer. Thank you, Judy.
Thanks, Michael.
For putting things in perspective. Appreciate it. Nice to meet you. All right. Those are the Kramers. Let's see. Has UW ever won the Final Four? Didn't someone say in the 40s, 1940s?
40s, yeah.
41?
Something like that.
41? During the war, or depends where you were, I guess, in 41, yeah. Okay, so it can happen. We could have another war, you never know, and the Badgers will zoom to the top. Brother-in-law, celebrate. Oh, okay, here it is. It's your brother-in-law's birthday. He's only 60, so forget him. But celebrating mom's birthday, and she's 87. Jill Plumer. Jill Plumer? Right here. Oh, okay, good. That's convenient. Thank you for being so convenient. I got you to stand up here. And you're from Tennessee.
Yes, I am. I grew up in Iowa City, but...
I want to see this side of you, too.
Okay, hi.
Did you grow up where?
Iowa City, Iowa.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
And what brought you down there?
Down to Tennessee?
Yeah.
A work, a job.
What field are you in?
Human resources.
Human resources? Okay, that's good. Do you mine them out of the ground? I always wonder where human resources come from. You have to.
Everywhere.
Big scoopers in the ground.
Yeah.
Okay, now figure. Now your mom, is your mom?
My mom over there.
Hi, she's 87.
Janet.
Happy birthday. Janet?
Yes.
You want to stand up? No? You don't want to take the abuse? You're 87. You got to take the abuse for it. Happy birthday, Dee.
Thank you.
Is this the extent of the celebration so far? Or are they showing you a better time than this, I hope?
Oh, yes. We've had many celebrations this week.
Oh, this is the least of them.
No. This is the highlight.
Are you from here, or are you from?
I'm from Iowa City.
Oh, from Iowa City. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then did you come up to Wisconsin from there? Did you live here? Or, well, who lives here now in the family? That you?
My daughter.
Okay.
My son-in-law.
Your
two daughters.
Okay. Daughters. Yeah. Okay. And you're here as well?
No,
you're
I live
back in Iowa City.
I'm still in Iowa City.
Can't seem to get out of Iowa City. And
no, Iowa from the start.
Yeah. Well, that's very good. And so, what's the biggest? Are you having like a big family gathering from all over the place?
Yes. Yeah. And there's another daughter who couldn't be here.
Yeah. Well, so. Excellent. Yeah. We have a little something we want to contribute to it, don't we? We have any more wine left in our?
Yeah, we do have wine. We have warm and elegant wines from Domaine de Sac Prairie.
Take a little wine
from Molochheim Winery.
That's very nice.
It's for medicinal purposes only.
Yeah, absolutely.
So get out there and medicate.
That's right.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Happy birthday to you all. Nice to see you all. Iowa City is a great town. I love Iowa City. You know, in fairness, we do have the other guy from England here. Let's compare and contrast. Now, we've got far west London, and we've got this, Tony Burke's claims to be from Cambridge in the U.K. Do you think of it as the U.K., or is it England to you?
It's both. England is
not really, is it? I mean, excuse me. It would bother me if I grew up in England and suddenly it was the U.K.
Why? It's always been the United Kingdom.
I know, but you didn't talk about it, though, did you?
We do.
I mean, you're an Englishman. Englishman in the mad days in the noonday sun or something. You know, it's Englishman. You don't say
an Englishman go out in the noonday.
Exactly. What I was saying.
We haven't had much of that here, though, have we?
No. Well, we've got you, though.
That's it. We're here.
So you're in Cambridge, and is that near West London?
It's not far. The wife come from West London, Chelsea.
Oh, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Okay, go ahead and defend yourself.
Defend myself what, for my wife? Or?
No, I'm just saying, I'm curious. No, that's your business. And vice versa, I might say. But an Englishman. You're an Englishman, right?
Yes, I am. A Kentish man.
A Kentish man, even worse. Even more so.
Yes.
So it goes down to the county that you're in.
Go down to the county, yes. We live in Cambridge now, but I'm originally from Kent.
You're from Kent. Where in Kent?
Kentish man, but not a man of Kent.
Okay. Now, that means that your data probably would be stored in London.
Probably, yes, or in the county town of Kent is Maidstone.
Yeah. What's it?
Maidstone.
Maidstone?
Maidstone.
In Kent, but you're not in Kent.
Not
you're
not
of Kent.
Cambridge.
You're of Kent. But not in Kent. Now in. Of
I'm a Kentish man.
Kent.
Not a man of Kent.
Not a man of Kent. What does that mean to you?
It means to me I live on one side of the Medway.
Okay.
And a man of Kent lives on the other side of the Medway.
Okay. All right. Let me ask you this. What were you doing in West London?
I wasn't. We met actually on a charabang trip.
A what?
A charabang, coach outing.
Charabang?
Charabang, that's what it used to be called.
Charabang?
Yeah, you know, a coach. But they're called charabangs.
Charabangs?
Yeah.
With a G on the end?
With whatever's on the end, yes. A G on the end, yes.
It's important, I think, in this consideration. If you're on a charabang, I want to know about.
I was hoping for the bang bit at the end of the chara.
Okay. And you were on the same charabang?
Yes, I was.
Were you sitting behind him or next to him?
Behind him.
Yeah. Was that funny, behind him or...? What was he doing in front of you that attracted you to him?
I think he was chatting someone else up.
You were chatting someone else up?
It was. It was my turn to have the rest of the girls, but I ended up with one. The best one, of course.
Okay.
That's what she told me to say.
And where was this cherubang headed?
At Ramsgate in Kent.
Oh, nice. A seaside resort, of course.
Yeah.
So, and then once you got to Ramsgate in Kent, and then that's when you got to know him?
That's right, yeah.
Did it make for a long bus ride home?
Not that time, no. But we courted through the Dartford Tunnel.
You courted in the tunnel?
Through the Dartford Tunnel.
Through it?
She lived in Basildon and I lived in Kent.
Yeah. Okay, well, how long is that tunnel that you could actually court in?
Long enough on a motorbike, because that's what I was on, a motorbike at that time.
Wait a minute. You're on a motorbike on a bus?
No, not on the cherubang. No, come on.
Well, I was still on the cherubang, man. I'm not. Okay. And you took her in the tunnel as soon as you could on your motorbike.
Yes. When the opportunity arose.
So you rode on the back of his motorbike?
No, I never went on there.
You're thinking of someone else, pal. This happens in our country, too.
Yes,
I'm
sure it does.
Very nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Very nice to meet you. Pleasure. I'm glad we sorted that out. I'm totally... probably ruined their relationship. On the cherubang. In Kent, but not of Kent. I don't know what he said. I'm from Kent. And could you make any sense of that?
Yeah, I know what cherubang is. Say, like, you got two groups of people, and you'll follow each other in a coach trip. That's just called a cherubang.
Oh, like
caravan.
A caravan.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
They call it a cherubang because they're English, and they can say whatever they want.
That's right.
All right, cool. All right, let's play another round of the What Do You Know quiz. As you know, it's a general knowledge quiz. And we gotta have somebody here who's, you saw what happened the first time, and you're still thinking, what about you? What about you? I'm saying you're young, you're happening, you're the hope of the future. It's all on your shoulders now, kid. But I'll meet you down here at the Alamo. Let's have a look at you. See if you qualify for the What Do You Know quiz. How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. You are?
Amira.
Amira, and where are you from? Here? Or?
Yeah, I live in Madison.
You're not from Iowa City like everybody else?
I am not. I grew up in North Dakota, though.
You did?
Yeah.
Whereabouts?
Grand Forks, 40 minutes north of Fargo.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
We were in Fargo not too long ago. Amira.
Yes.
Very pretty name, too. What are you doing these days?
I am a recruiter, actually, an IT recruiter.
IT?
I am.
Person to know here. Amira, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
I actually have never watched your radio or listened to your radio show before, and this is, or watched, and this is my first time, so I'd love to be a part of it.
Well, all right then. Amira, come on down here, dear. Abscond the stage. I mean, abscond, or get up on it, whatever the word is. Have a seat there.
Sounds good.
The water is in several people's.
Yeah, so I think a lot of people have drank out of this water.
An actress, a very well-known actress, drank from the
water. Yeah, maybe I should drink out of it. Good luck.
I'll change it out here for this water. It's been here.
Thank you.
Last show we did.
So who drank out of this one?
So no one. Yeah.
No one yet. Okay.
Mostly evaporated. The time was there. Oh, Amira. How do you spell Amira?
Take a guess.
A-M-E-R-A.
Nope. A-M-I.
A-M-I...
R-A-H.
R-A-H. Very pretty.
Yeah, thank you.
Does that mean something?
Yeah, actually, it means princess in Arabic.
It is?
Yeah, no joke.
It was appropriate, I must say. It was a good call.
I use it against my parents sometimes.
Okay, well, they did very well, I would say, Amira. And you're an IT recruiter.
IT recruiter, yeah.
What
I
does
used
that
to.
Do?
What do I do?
Yeah. Recruit people for IT?
Yeah, for different IT positions, project managers, business analysts, software developers of different sorts.
They need any, like, radio hosts?
They don't, but I'll keep my eye out for you.
Okay.
Okay.
We got to expand this IT business. And you do that for whom?
Beacon Hill Staffing Group, actually.
Oh.
They're wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, we like to spend a lot of time with our candidates, and yeah. Even if we can't place them, you know, make their resumes better and help them out on the job boards.
Good.
So.
Do you have a card or something? Because my daughter is looking for a job.
Sure, yeah.
Really hard. Ellie, you know, she got her first full-time job. And
does she? What does she do?
Yeah, she spends her time looking for another job.
Yeah. You know, that's kind of what I do, but on the opposite end of it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I spend my time on job boards on the other
side.
She's
very good.
I have my card in my purse.
Very bright, very efficient.
Yeah.
She's a go-getter. She gets it done. She deals well with people.
Good.
And she makes a very nice presentation.
Good.
Okay. And you don't know how the quiz works because you never heard this show.
Well,
Well, I saw it the first time, so yeah. I think I can follow along, but I've never...
That wasn't too hard. That was Chuck, though.
Thanks, Chuck, for paving the way for me.
We can. I'll be like Chuck. Even Chuck has trouble with it sometimes, but he's good. Yeah, it's a general knowledge quiz. Someone out there plays along with you,
yep.
And we have various categories. Don't we, Sarah?
We have categories, but first we need a partner in the quiz.
I know. I was going to get to that.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I can. So we have various qualifying questions, though, don't we?
Well, you Sarah? Do, yes. And people call in, and then you ask it of them.
That's what I was saying.
Yes.
All right, here it is, then. Improved thinking, decreased appetite, lowered blood pressure, lowered blood sugar levels. What is this wonder drug now available in your local supermarket? Okay, there's a big thing in the news about this. This drug is something that is quite commonly used. A confection, perhaps, that is now found to have all these properties for helping human beings improve thinking, decreased appetite, lowered blood pressure, et cetera, blood sugar levels actually lowered simply by taking this product, which is quite easy to take, I must say. Let's go on the phones right now. There's Mark in Myrtle Beach. Myrtle Beach. Boy, I should be there, Mark.
Yeah, you really should be.
Yeah.
Nice today.
Is it a nice day today out there?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah. Are you on?
Let me make your day, Michael, if I can.
Yeah.
You know, there's a certain other show that plays on NPR in the evening.
Yeah.
I don't even remember that guy's name anymore.
No.
Just listen to you.
Yeah. Okay, thanks. you made my day. All right, so what is it that you can take that actually has all these beneficial properties that they keep discovering?
I would just say exercise, but I have no idea.
It's at the grocery store, Mark.
It's at the grocery store, Mark. Thank you very much.
Water.
No. Sorry. Bye.
Oh, well.
Made your day. Okay. Lori in Bangor, Wisconsin. Hey,
hello.
Lori. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Oh, that's good. Things pretty good then. Did you have snow up there?
It's melted now, but we've had plenty. Thank you. It's actually supposed to be up in the 50s today, so
yeah.
We're feeling very blessed.
Yes, I love it when the basements flood, you know, afterwards. That's that's the good
I'll
news.
I'll take it.
Okay, this thing that you can buy in the supermarket and everyone eats, and it's very easy to consume. People seem to love it. It's good for you in all kinds of health ways. Do you know what it is, Lori?
Oh, I was going to say caffeine, but I'll say peanut butter. I don't know.
Yeah.
No?
No, you want to try another one? Try another one.
A hint? What
it sounds like John clearing his throat.
You're muffled. I can't. What does it sound like?
Chocolate.
It comes
chocolate?
In darkened milk.
Chocolate? Did you say Pardon chocolate?
Me? I said chocolate.
Oh, chocolate. That's it. Lori. Okay. All right. Ready to play the quiz? You know how this works, Lori?
I do. I listen to you almost every week.
Okay, wonderful. And Amira is very smart here, so you really caught a break here.
Hi, Lori.
Good.
She'll help you
Hi.
Through it, because that's what she does. Okay.
Sounds good to me.
Two of you are our team, and now we have various categories.
We do.
Don't we?
Yep, yes. And they are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Lori, you pick first one. What would you like?
People
it is. This is kind of whatever. Okay, your survey results. Okay, when your tetra bites it, your little fish, what do you do with it? Do you more likely to bury it or flush it? Fish dies. We're looking for percentages here. More likely to bury your fish in a nice little ceremony with the kids in the backyard. Sad. Or flush it.
You want me to talk to you?
Yeah, no, both of you. You cooperate here. This is cooperative.
Is this a specific fish you said, or just fish in
no,
general?
No, not any fish. I mean, in general, what do people do? In general, what do people do?
Lori, I don't know what you're thinking, but I don't know anybody that buries fish, so.
I don't either. I'm thinking flush is the way to go.
All right, let's do it. Right. Let's go with flush.
Flush is right. 51% flush, 44% bury. So I always buried my fish if the weather was right. And I buried a lot of them, frankly.
That's one right and zero wrong.
Okay.
The categories remaining are current events, places, things you should have learned in school, science, or odds and ends.
Amira?
Are you looking at me now?
Yeah.
Let's do.
It's easy to do, I'll be honest.
I appreciate that. You're going to make me blush.
Okay.
Things I should have learned in school already, if I was paying attention or whatever that category
what?
Is. School
yes.
stuff, yeah.
School it is. Mm-hmm. Here it is.
So am I still with Lori here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it, Lori.
Yeah, you're
okay,
a team right
go.
Now.
Okay,
team.
We got it, yeah.
Occam's razor is what again?
What? What's
it?
Can we do a different one? Yeah, thanks. We're doing a different one, Lori.
Okay. What happens if antimatter meets matter?
Bad things.
Bad
I'm
things?
Thinking I wasn't paying attention that day.
Lori, I'm thinking something bad, some sort of an explosion.
Well, it can't be good.
Can't be good. Okay,
yeah.
Well, can we set
can we
that?
Go with that?
Sure, sure.
Can't be good. Yes, okay,
yeah.
Can't be good. They think that happened in the Big Bang. I don't know, so I don't think that would happen again, though. Okay, and that would be...
Two right and zero wrong.
Okay.
Categories remaining right. Current events, places, science, or odds and ends.
Lori?
Current events.
Okay, sorry. Current events. Right on the news. All right, distance runner Galen Rupp with 28 is the most wanted... of all American athletes.
Can you repeat that?
Yes. Distance, it won't make any more sense. Distance runner Galen Rupp, okay, with 28 is the most wanted of all American athletes.
With 28?
Yeah.
Is that what 28? You just said? 28 what?
That's what I'm asking.
Oh.
He's been wanted 28 times.
Oh, okay. So, Lori, I'm guessing it's some sort of Google or Twitter or... tweeted or something. So what do you think, Lori?
He's an athlete now.
Oh. He's an athlete.
Lindsey
son.
Vonn has been wanted 8 times.
What about Lance? I'll
tell you that. Lance. What? He's been what?
He's been what?
Shaun White 4 times. Which is low, I think, for Shaun White, the border, you know.
Oh, you mean like meddled? Like
No. He's been wanted. What is
qualified?
No, Lori, come on, help me here.
I'm not even.
No, I'm looking at Feldman right now. Are you gonna help me out here?
Drug tested.
Oh, drug tested, Lori, it's drug tested.
Urine tested.
Urine drugs. Let's do it.
Urine drug tested. Yes. Okay, that's right. He leads 28, the most of any athlete. Okay, fantastic.
Wow.
You did a great job.
And in fact, they've won.
You've won the quiz.
Because we have no more time.
Yes.
Congratulations. I'd read your prizes,
thanks,
but we have
Lori.
No time for that either. Michael Feldman's What Do You
nice
Know is
job.
Produced at Wisconsin
thanks
Public Radio for Public Radio International.
Hang
Michael
on,
Feldman,
Lori.
Producer
make sure you get that.
Adam Friedrichs,
nice
our producer with assistance from Chris Miles, my shot, Lyle Anderson, Mark Patrick, and Diana Cook.
Go Badgers!
Public Radio International.